afternoon news and in-depth coverage with Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
This morning, as we were all working on the program for this afternoon, this story was brought to my attention, and the headline is, Phony Fact Check Account on Twitter Raises New Concerns. This was not in the United States, it was in the UK. And just to set the stage, Britain's Conservative Party changed the name of its press office's Twitter account to Fact Check UK. And they did it during a televised election debate between Prime Minister Boris Johnson and the opposition Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn. It happened a little earlier. And renaming the account made it look like a neutral fact checker. And this is raising eyebrows all over the place. And I realized, you know, I'm an immigrant into the digital world and the social media world, and I thought we need a genuine native, someone who is steeped in this, raised in this, and has great expertise. And at the risk of damaging his reputation, but certainly enhancing mine, I will tell you, first of all, that Dr. Avery Holton, who is an associate professor of economics at the University of Utah, is also my son-in-law. So I had to do that to enhance my reputation. I hope it doesn't hurt yours, Avery.
No, that's one of the best introductions I think I've had.
Did I not say communications? What did I say?
Communications, yeah.
Okay, associate professor of communications. What did I say? Oh, did I say economics? Well, I've just enhanced your reputation considerably there. Avery, really, I do appreciate you joining us. I probably ought to call you professor here. But let's he laughs. What about this? How illegitimate, how swarmy is this for, and especially from the highest levels of government, to have Britain's Conservative Party during a televised election, an election debate, actually change its moniker so it looks like they're a neutral fact checker, especially when at the end they declared Boris to be the winner?
Well, let's remember, too, that this particular debate was supposed to center around truth and transparency between those two candidates. So it's really interesting that one political organization would take this approach. And it comes at a really interesting time, I think, for Twitter and really for all these social media channels that over the last month and a half, have tried to formulate and convey to the public what it means to have misinformation or disinformation spread on their platform, what the implications are, and then what actions they're taking. And Twitter specifically has come out and said that transparency and truth are part of its DNA, and that it will take swift action, particularly against individuals and organizations that are trying to mislead the public regarding government and political issues. So this gives them the opportunity to stand behind their word. But isn't it, it's kind of a good signal for us to see, too, though, that the public caught on to this immediately and wasn't having any of it. And in fact, called the account out within a number of minutes and was tweeting about it live during the debate while Twitter was formulating a response to that. So it's an interesting crystallized moment for social media platforms. The negative side of that is it shows us how high misinformation and disinformation has reached now. But the positive side is that the public is onto it, and the public is growing seemingly tired of it.
I remember several years ago, we got something that appeared to be a legitimate email from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And some of the materials in it were rather breathtaking. And it had, even at the highest levels here at KSL, we went, holy cow, what is this really? And then we had people in the IT, because it was out of the norm. But some things really rang true as well. But finally, in our IT department, they discovered that it didn't quite have the complete signature. That appears also to be the case here. Anyone who took a closer look at all of this could see that there was something at the, you know, the they only partly changed the name that appeared at the top of the account. And when somebody does that, it is so deceptive. It is obviously whether it's designed as a prank or something that is a political wedge, in any way, shape, or form, can the argument be made by those who do this that, well, hey, you look at it closely and it was okay?
No. And I think that's the stance now that, you know, Facebook has grappled with, Google has grappled with YouTube, and now Twitter is grappling with too, is what is misinformation or disinformation and what makes something deceptive? And there's a big difference between accidentally resharing something that isn't true versus meaningfully and willfully deceiving the public. And in this case, the account went to extremes, not only by swapping out the photos that they had in their bio for the check mark, but also changing their bio description and then purporting to be a fact checker during a particularly high volume time for that conversation in the UK. So that's what Twitter has come out and said today, and it falls in line with what they've been saying for the past 2 months, that they're on to the nuances now of deception. And when that occurs, they're swift now in suspending and banning accounts. And we've already seen that happen. They issued a transparency report in September that detailed all of the suspensions that they had given out in China and Hong Kong, more than 20,000 accounts, but also in Egypt and Ecuador, Spain, Saudi Arabia, and even here in the U.S. So in the past 6 months, they've banned more than 100,000 accounts. And we might see this one, depending on their stance, fall into that category too.
Yeah, so far there have been those who feel that they, at least so far, have only received a slap on the wrist. But I tend to agree with you, and I have nowhere near your expertise, but at some point this has to become serious, because more and more people really feel that they are getting the news, they are getting reality, they're getting the true scoop, that they are getting legitimate fact checker sources, they are getting whatever it is. And when a deception occurs, it seems to me, and I know traditional broadcasting back with the Communications Act of 1934, you know, traditional media, this has been taken very, very seriously over the years, and especially in broadcasting, in our case, when you are licensed by the federal government itself. And it will be interesting to see how seriously these missteps and even these outright deceptions are taken by those who provide the platform. Are you confident that they will?
I think so. I think there's been a lot of conversation regarding Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act and what how that might change, or how social media companies can approach that. And that essentially just says, for folks out there, that information posted on social media platforms, the platforms themselves, the companies themselves, can't necessarily be held liable for that information. And that's starting to change. And one of the things that Facebook has talked about doing, which might actually be a good approach, is having an outside body start to really look for information, disinformation, hate speech, those sorts of things, and to have that outside body govern that across social media platforms. So we might think of something like the FCC stepping in. That way there's no internal bias, there's no revenue bias, but there's an actual governing body taking control of that. The argument against that has to do more with the First Amendment and some folks feeling like their voices are being silenced. But Facebook and Twitter have taken already steps to allow users to flag content. They have algorithms working with humans on picking out fake information and parsing out the severity of it. And Twitter, at least, has really shown a swift stick again with these accounts that are putting this information out. And when it comes to politics, Twitter is now going to be banning political ads. I think that's effective either tomorrow or early next week. And their CEO, Jack Dorsey, has said that the company is tired of letting political forms be bought instead of earned. And so they're taking that approach. But the public has had enough, and it's sort of on the public, too, to decide whether they see these things as humorous or whether they see them as truly detrimental to democratic conversations.
Right. Professor Holton, I really appreciate you joining us. And by the way, I will not be calling you Professor Holton at your birthday luncheon coming up later in the week. But for today, it's appropriate. I really appreciate you joining us. I'm out of my depth on these topics, and I know you're immersed in it each and every day and have offered thoughts on this even around the world. So thank you for spending this time with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing if I can get one more Professor Holton out of you this weekend.
Professor Holton has been joining us here at KSL News Radio, and I'm going to get the title right this time, Associate Professor of Communications at the University of Utah. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Congressman Curtis, representing the 3rd Congressional District here in the state of Utah, about a very important monument in Washington, D.C.